And now let us pray and we will jump in. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. And we thank you that you are a God who speaks. And so we ask you, we implore you to speak. That you would challenge us, that you would encourage us, that you would change us, that you would make us ever more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And so here, be with us today, Lord. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Today we are starting in sort of a, well, it's a very strange spot. We're going to be looking at a miracle in a few moments. But this miracle is cooler than it looks at first. And if you know a little bit of stuff about what's happening kind of beneath the surface, this miracle gets even better, more amazing. We're going to be talking about when Jesus and Peter walked on water. But first, you should know that they are not the only ones who have ever walked on water. In fact, there are many water walkers, if you want to call them that, for no other, they don't have a cool name, but they walk on water. And the first of these water walkers is known as Basilius plumifrons, or as his friends call him, the basilisk lizard. His good friends just call him the Jesus lizard, and there should be a little boom. Basilisk lizards literally run and walk across the water like that. National Geographic has got a great little video you can go watch as well. But basically, they use the same strategy that most 10-year-old boys try when trying to walk on water. Basically, the strategy is, if you get going fast enough, maybe I'll be able to take a few steps before I end up splashing into the water. Now, they have some help. Their legs are super powerful. They just get this pinwheel thing going. And they have enough force in their legs to push down. And their feet are wide enough and such that it actually creates a little bubble on the surface of the, under the surface of the water, which gives them just enough lift to get up. So basically, in your head, you're thinking, if you smack your hand down on water really hard, so much so that it hurts, it's like that, except really, really fast, and it's feet, not hands, and then you're running at the same time. They can travel at about 5 feet a second for about 30 feet before they start to swim. Though, interestingly, and here's where it's going to kind of almost get toward a sermon, interestingly, the challenge in running across the top of the water is being stable. It turns out there's not a lot of traction on top of water. It's sort of slippery up there. You all may not know, you've never stood on it, but it turns out it's very, very frictionless. So if you think about it, if you were to stand on water and you were to start, your feet were just going to kind of slide out from under you, it would be hard to regain your balance. You would normally splash. Now, there are other water, we got to turn this off because then no one's listening to me anymore. They're beautiful. There are other water walkers as well. They're a little bit more common. This might have been where your head went first after you knew I wasn't talking about people. But there are different species of bugs, water striders, fishers, spiders, Anurida maritime, and probably a few others that didn't make whatever list I found. And these bugs use a totally different method for water walking. You got to hold on for just a little paragraph. It's a little sciencey here, which is hard on a Sunday morning, I know. But water molecules, the really, really small parts of water, have a little tiny bit of charge in them, which means they like to act like small magnets, and they like to line up and orient themselves in specific ways, and they like to hold on to each other a little bit as well, just like magnets. Now, the term is van der Waal forces, if you want to look it up on Wikipedia later today. But this is especially true on the surface of water. They hold on extra tight because it's the top of water and there's no one above, so they got to hold on. And it kind of forms a thin skin almost over the surface of the water. That's why you can fill a cup over the top of the surface and you'll see like it won't just flow over the top right away. It's why there are rain drops. It's why it forms kind of a drop. And if you want to try this at home, you can fill up, put some water in a cup, wait till let it sit for a moment, no waves or anything like that, and you take a paperclip, flat, and you drop it on really soft. Paperclip, metal, normally sinks, but if you get it on there just right, it'll actually just sit on top of the water, and it won't sink. It's amazing. Science is fun. But anyway, the bugs are white, and they have these thousands of microscopic little hairs on their feet, scored with even more little grooves so that they can stand on the surface of the water without breaking through. They stand on the surface making little divots in the water from where they're standing, which is kind of cool. But wait, there's more. And again, this is where Jesus' miracle actually gets a little bit cooler. Now, one of the other things that are particularly interesting to scientists is how do animals move forward, how do these bugs move forward on a virtually frictionless surface like water? And what I mean by that is, imagine that you have a 1 foot in either a very small boat or a very large shoe. And the other foot's in a very small boat or large shoe, enough that you could kind of stand on the water in these little boats. And then I were to tell, like in the middle of a pool, let's say, and then I were to tell you, now go somewhere. You would find it very difficult because when you throw 1 foot forward, the other one goes back and you don't end up moving anywhere. And then you pull that foot back and you put the other one forward and you're still just right where you started because that's just how that works. You can't go anywhere. It's hard to move. It's hard to move across water because it's slippery up there. Turns out water striders actually use the divots that they kind of create almost like little oars, and they kind of push back, which creates just enough friction that allows them to walk. It creates a little bit of resistance so they can move forward. So it's one thing to stand on top of water. I'm not saying that's easy, but it's even harder to move across water, since water is slippery. So when we get to the story in a bit, if you hear that the wind would be blowing and there's waves involved as well, that makes it even harder to walk around on top of the water. But we'll get there in a moment when we get to the passage. Today we're continuing our third major section of our sermon series on growth. And in this section, we're looking at growth a little bit more practically, looking at growth in the life of a person, in the life of Peter. Peter starts out as a fisherman. He becomes a disciple of Jesus. And by the end of his life, he's leading the church movement, which has grown extraordinarily. And this trajectory of Peter's life cannot be explained or predicted without something extraordinary happening in Peter's life. Something outside of Peter got Peter to grow in a wholly unexpected way so that he would grow into the person he became. And we can find hope in this, I think, because if God could do that in and through Peter, imagine what he could do to and through us. Last week we talked about some of the characteristics in Peter that made him a prime candidate for spiritual growth. And we talked about how maybe some of those are a little lacking in us. And we're going to see these same characteristics in today's sermon as well, though we'll kind of look at it in a different way. But you'll be able to find all three of these very much alive and well in Peter today. Peter is a jump in with both feet zealous kind of person. If Peter's in at all, he's all in. Peter does not test the water first. It's a belly flop. That's how he starts. That's the first characteristic. The second one is Peter is obedient in the face of doubt. Even if he absolutely doubts if Jesus told him to do it, he'll do it. Even if he doubts that it'll work. And the third one is that Peter's not overly concerned with what other people think about it. He's not overly concerned with looking silly. There's the humility to Peter. And again, we're going to see all three of these alive and well in our passage today. So if you will, I'd encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 33. You can find them in your Bibles. They'll be on the screen, but they're just better in your Bible, so I would encourage you to bring one. While you're turning there, I will let you know that this passage takes place directly after the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus has just fed with a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread. He did the breaking. He just multiplied 5,000. Normally, I think it says men, which means there's probably 10,000 some odd people there, women, children, and all the rest. 5,000 to 10,000 people just got fed a huge amount of ministry, and they're done. I mean, feeding a couple people is a lot of work. Feeding a couple thousand people, that's more work. And so they just finished this amazing thing of ministry, and they're kind of getting rid of the people, and that's where our passage picks up. Matthew chapter 14, 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come on to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hands and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen. So the disciples are there with Jesus, and he tells them, get in the boat and go ahead and go get a head start. Start on the other side. I got some stuff that I need to do here, and then I'll catch up. Which is odd, because Jesus doesn't have a boat. Some disciples should have said, Jesus, you don't have how are you going to walk? It's never faster to walk around a lake, but are you walking around? Are you swimming? But you know what? Jesus said it. Off they go. They're off on the boat. They're going. It's the middle of the night. I want to say 3-ish or so in the morning, and they see Jesus off in the distance, and he's walking on the water towards them. And they get pretty freaked out, which is not all that surprising. I mean, remember, this is the middle of the night, and there's pretty serious wind, there's pretty serious waves. I don't know what they used to use for light back then, but I'm imagining fire was involved. If you were on a boat in the middle of a big lake with a whole bunch of wind and waves, fire's not normally something you would want. You'd normally just prefer it to be dark. So it's probably almost pitch black. And now every time I picture this in my head, I've seen too many movies, so there's kind of that Hollywood lighting in my head when I'm picturing this, where like there's no light visible anywhere, but you can kind of see Jesus and the boat and the people, and you can kind of see everything, except they didn't have Hollywood lighting back then. So you couldn't see anything. So they're scared. I mean, maybe there's a couple stars or something. Maybe there's some lightning or something. And that's all they have to kind of see Jesus coming. And they're afraid. And Jesus says, "Don't be afraid." And then Peter says, "Okay, if it's you, tell me to come out on the water." Which is sort of a silly test. Since if it's not Jesus, which is sort of what the question implies, Peter's going to end up all wet. And there's a little bit of like, "See guys, I told you it wasn't Jesus. Does someone have a towel?" The smarter thing may have been, "If it's you, tell me to stay in the boat." That might have been the smarter way to do it, but that's not how Peter rules. Of course, it is Jesus. Jesus says, "Okay, come on out." And Peter steps out of the boat and he stands on the water. And at this point, it's going to be important to picture this. The boat, we'll say, is over here. Jesus is over there. He's walking toward them. Peter gets out of the boat and he starts walking toward Jesus. When you're walking toward someone, normally you're looking at the person you're walking toward. And then the passage kind of says, and then he saw the wind. For some reason, he looked away from Jesus at the wind. And it says he began to sink. He began to sink, and then as he's sinking, he cries out. And you almost have to picture, it's almost more helpful to picture this from Jesus' point of view. Jesus over here, there's still a little bit of distance to close, and Peter starts to sink in the water. And I don't know from experience, but normally I don't think if you were standing on water and you begin to sink, I don't think there's a lot of lateral motion there. I think he's pretty much just going down. And he starts going down, he says, "Lord, save me." And Jesus must have closed the gap at some point there. And he says, "Lord, save me." And Jesus is right there to pick him back up and put him back on the surface. Immediately, it says, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Which seems to be sort of a theme in Peter's life. We're going to see that one over and over again. It's actually the theme of, I don't know, my life, probably your life, pretty much it's the story of life there, that we end up sinking in something and Jesus has to walk over and pull us back out again. But that's our passage. But what I want us to really focus on today is how we see Peter's faith continue to grow. And I want us to see how Peter's faith has grown more active than even it was before. Specifically, I want us to look at three things. I want us to look at how Peter believed bigger, he acted bolder, and he seemed to see better. And we're going to begin with that first one. He believed bigger. And by this, I mean Peter seems to see a larger world of possibility through his eyes of faith than I normally see. What is really possible with God, and what can Jesus really do, and what are the limits of what I can tap into? I mean, the thing that strikes me, I think, the most here is what would possess Peter to want to get out of the boat in the first place? How does that get into his head? Where does that... I don't think that's my first thought. If I'm in a boat and someone and Jesus is standing on the water, I don't know that... I want to do it too. I don't know that I would just wait for, come on, Jesus, you're almost there. Keep walking. Jump on in. How does Peter think, I bet I could do that too? I mean, remember, Peter's a fisherman. So he innately, deep down in his soul, knows the important fact that if a person tries to stand on water, that person will end up all wet with a mighty splash. It doesn't work. People can't stand on water. Heavy, misshapen things can't stand. They sink. Things with legs sink. And Peter the fisherman would have known this. Or did he? Maybe Peter is starting to grow. He's seen Jesus do some pretty amazing things at this point, and maybe his faith is starting to grow. And remember, as a disciple, it's just part of what a disciple is. Part of your job, what you were doing as a disciple, is you were trying to become more like your rabbi, your teacher, Jesus. And you're trying to become like them, and so you follow them around all the time. You're supposed to be spending time, you're supposed to stay with your rabbi no matter where they are. And so Peter says, with growing faith, says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come out there with you. Which is where a disciple's supposed to be in the first place. As a disciple, you're trying to be like your rabbi. You're trying to learn to do what they do. And I love Peter's zealousness here. Tell me to walk on water and I'll come out to you. Or maybe Peter is simply thinking, I'd rather take my chances out there with him and the wind than in here without him. But whatever he's thinking, I love how Peter believes bigger. He doesn't limit God's power. He leans into it somehow. I find it interesting that presumably the other disciples have seen all of the same things that Peter has, and yet they stay in the boat. They don't or can't believe that big that yet. I wonder how we would be different if we dreamed bigger. If we believed bigger. What if we didn't put limits on what God could do in us, through us? I wonder how that would reshape the world in which we live. I wonder how much smaller our problems would look if we believed that much bigger. I wonder how our lives would be different if our faith beckoned us out of the boat. If we always strived to follow Jesus no matter where he went. Do you believe that you could be enough like Jesus to actually stand on water? Not metaphorically. I mean, what we're trying to do, it's why we're here at church, is technically we're trying to grow to be more like Jesus, to do more of the things that Jesus did. So, have you become enough like Jesus, or could you ever become enough like Jesus that you could stand on water? Here's the crazy thing about this story. Peter believed he could. I don't normally think that kind of thing. But Peter's growth and faith don't just stop there. Peter's faith also acts boldly. Despite the absurdity of getting out of a boat in the middle of a storm or the wind and all the rest, despite the fear of drowning in the water, despite the doubt that Peter, I'm sure, felt, and probably in the midst of all that uncertainty and fear and doubt and all the rest, Peter gets out of the boat. He takes a step. Peter lets go of the boat, and he walks on water. Jesus walking on water is one thing. But at the end of the day, we kind of just chalk that up to him being God, and so that's just one of the perks of the job. But Peter walking on water, that's like you or I walking on water. That's a miracle. And it strikes me that it never would have happened if Peter hadn't been willing to get out of the boat in the first place. It never would have happened if he hadn't been willing to take that first step. It never would have happened if he had allowed his fear, his rationality, his doubt to get the better of him. It never would have happened if he wasn't obedient to Jesus' invitation. But somehow his trust in God was stronger than that fear, and he took the step and he stayed up. It's so easy to focus on Peter sinking at the end of the story and assume Peter failed. I mean, we don't call this the story of Peter walking on water. We call it the story of Jesus walking on water. I mean, Peter failed. He's all wet. But let's remember that Peter's the only other person besides Jesus to ever have walked on water. He's the only one who knows if water's squishy or not when you're standing on it. He's the only one who knows what a wave feels like when it goes underfoot. He's the only one to know if you get your socks wet when you're standing on water. Or do you kind of stay over the top? And Peter did even better when you consider the other disciples. Now, of course, we don't know what they were thinking, except that many of us, I imagine, can see ourselves in them. The boat's comfortable. The boat's safe. The boat's well known. The boat is routine. Sure, Jesus is out there, but so is the wind. So we'll just stay in here. We'll wait for Jesus to catch up. He told us to stay in the boat. We should stay in the boat. It's safer over here, even though he's out there. And we may even think sometimes of walking on water ourselves, but it's a long way from thinking about walking on water to actually taking that step. For me, the miracle of walking on water is dwarfed by the miracle that Peter was willing to throw his legs over the side of the boat and jump. For me, that's the miracle. At that point, walking on water is the easy part. So I have to ask you, does your faith take you out of the boat? Is your faith the faith of action, or do you find yourself in faith sitting and watching a lot? Are you willing to go where Jesus leads, even when you don't know where he's going, even when you don't know if it'll work, even when you've never been there before, even when it's scary? Are you willing to take a step, and do you trust him enough to get out of the boat? Peter did. Peter believes bigger. Peter acts bolder. And Peter sees better, at least most of the time. Peter walks on water towards Jesus, and everything is fine until his concentration slips. His focus falters a little bit, and he starts watching the wind. And his fears and his doubts grow heavy, and he begins to sink. Somehow, when he sees the wind, his doubts become too big. And it's not like he didn't have his doubts before when he was getting out of the boat, but somehow his trust was stronger than his fear. Peter overcame his doubts because of the powerful trust he had in Jesus. But then as he loses sight of Jesus, his doubts start to bring him down. But as he starts to sink, his faith returns. It realigns with where it's supposed to be. I love that he cries out, "Lord, save me." He cries out to Jesus. Somehow his focus has returned back to where it was supposed to be, and Jesus lifts him out of the water. Even in the midst of the sinking, Peter knew where his focus should have been. I would be turning back toward the boat to swim. Peter put his focus back on Jesus and said, "Lord, help." I used to think that Jesus' comment to Peter as they were walking back to the boat was a little condemning. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" But now I think there's more of a tenderness, almost an encouragement in that same. I think Jesus is troubleshooting with Peter as they're walking back to the boat. "So what happened there? What happened to your faith there? What went wrong right there at the end? Why did you doubt?" I think Jesus is hoping that Peter's going to learn and his faith will grow even stronger. But let's take this even farther for a second. Jesus says, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Doubt who? Who did Peter doubt? Now, the obvious question, or the obvious answer, is it seems like it should be Jesus. Except that doesn't totally make sense, because Jesus is still standing on the water. Jesus' power isn't limited at this point. He's doing just fine. He's not the one sinking. So why would you doubt Jesus? Maybe when Jesus says, why did you doubt, he's really asking, why did you doubt your faith? Why did you doubt yourself? You've been becoming more and more like me. You can do this now. You've got this. I believe in you. Why don't you? I wonder if you believe that as well. I wonder if you believe that Jesus actually believes in you. That when he says something like, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt what you can do through me? I mean, Peter was walking on water. And then his focus shifted. Why did he doubt? Why then would the wind make such a difference? I wonder today, are you having trouble getting out of the boat? Do you actually want to be more with Jesus, even in the midst of the wind, than staying safe in the boat? I wonder if your faith and your growth is being limited by the fear of the waves or by the comfort of the boat. What's keeping you from walking on water? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the miracles he did and the way that he included others, that he invited others into those same miracles. We thank you for Peter, for his example to us. We thank you that Peter was bold enough or crazy enough to actually ask Jesus to walk on. That Peter actually believed in Jesus he could do amazing things. And he took an amazing step of faith. And because of it, he was able to walk on water. Lord, we pray that you would help us to believe bigger like Peter. We pray that you would help us to act more boldly, that you would empower us with courage, that we might let that bigger belief turn into a bolder action. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to see you even better. Lord, we thank you that even when we are in the midst of sinking in the water, you close the gap and you're right there to pick us back up. And we would rather, at the end of the day, be in the midst of the waves and the wind and the storm and the darkness and with you than safe in the boat, than safe at home, than safe in whatever that comfortable place is. Because we know that you are with us even in those dark times. So, Lord, help us to never lose sight of you and to keep our focus on you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.